So we are adding to your spiritual journey. These are building blocks, things that are really necessary for your continual spiritual growth. And we started out with the cornerstone. That is the most important basis for your faith. So that's the first one we talked about. Second one, we added wisdom to that, talked about what that means, understanding wisdom, how God wants to work through that. And today, we're talking about being at one with God, or atonement. And so we'll work on that a little bit further. Just want to say, so I don't forget, as I did first service, but we do have Steps to Peace with God, and also the Roman Road, which we're going to talk about today on the two tables that are on either side. So if you'd like to take one along, you can be able to do that, both for maybe reinforcement in your own life, or maybe to share with someone that God would open those doors and give you that opportunity. And so this is Core 15 that we're talking about. Let's read this verse together. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice this morning, not mine, that we might better know how to live for you. In Christ's name, amen. There's a lot that is a part of today's message. And understanding this is kind of a basic part of our faith and our faith journey, but really feel that it's always good for us to both review and get a better grasp of why Christ's death and resurrection was so significant for each one of us. And the music all fit exactly. Pastor Ryan put that together as we're looking and explaining exactly what the message is today. But as we would see, the Day of Atonement is certainly one of those things as far as in Scripture that's talked about very clearly. Now, it's really shown to us in Leviticus, as we would look in the Old Testament. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Leviticus, but honestly, if for a new believer, if you've never read through Leviticus, it's a snoozer. And I just have to be honest with you, because I don't want you to go, like, hear me say something else and then jump in and get real excited and go, whoa, this is so hard. Because it talks about a bunch of laws and a bunch of things. But I'm saying it's important. I'm not trying to say that it's not. But if you've never read through the Old Testament, don't start with Leviticus. Make sure that you I always encourage you, read the New Testament like 20, 30 times. You know, get a feel for that. In fact, read Hebrews. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, but read Hebrews, because Hebrews was a book to the Jews. Okay, that's why it's called that. And it was written to kind of be the Old Testament in the New Testament. So it's kind of a reduced version of the Old Testament if you read Hebrews. So I would just suggest you could read that first before you go to Leviticus. Now, you might want to read, especially I'll talk to you about Leviticus 16. That explains a little bit more fully what we're talking about today. So you might want to take that passage. But if you're a seasoned veteran, you just go for it. You can kind of hang in there. But here's what it says in Leviticus 23, the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly, deny yourselves, and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it's the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Leviticus 23. So if we understand that, that is still celebrated today by the Jewish people, and because they would respect the Old Testament. So if you have Jewish friends or Jewish family, you would see that they would celebrate Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. And so you'll see why that's so important to them and to us as well. This year, it's September 27th and 28th, so it does change yearly as far as the time, but you would see that this is the celebration and what is the Day of Atonement. Well, we're going to try to understand that a little bit more. It was known as the most solemn of the holy days, where the high priest would perform an elaborate ritual to atone for the sins of the people once a year. Now, to make sure you're understanding how this whole thing is set up, there was the temple, and the temple where everyone could go, And then there would be the next place where the altar was, where the priest would go. And then past that, there would be the Holy of Holies. And it had a curtain that protected it and covered it. And this curtain, I think it was about 12 inches thick, so it was huge. It was huge. And it was kind of protecting the Holy of Holies. Now, only once a year on the Day of Atonement did the priest, the high priest, go to that Holy of Holies. Now, you'll remember in the New Testament when Jesus died, the curtain, or they call it the veil, the curtain that was there, that kind of 12-inch thing, ripped from top to bottom, opening the Holy of Holies to all of us. And so no longer did it have to be a high priest, but now it's open for everyone. What an incredible thing. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What a great gift that God has given to us. So when you see this Old Testament kind of information, you see how Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament. And you go, wow, okay, yeah, I get it, because that's exactly what happened. So this was an elaborate ritual that happened once a year. The high priest was to bathe and then put on special garments. He would have to sacrifice a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, there were four animals that were slain at this Day of Atonement. There was a bull, a ram, and two goats. Well, actually, three were slain, but all four were needed, and you'll hear that as we're explaining. And so there is a great importance of making sure. Now, what they would do is they would kill the animal and spill the blood on the horns of the altar. And so that was to atone for the sins or cover the sin, and when they would do that. Realistically, when you would come in, there were two very significant parts of the temple that were necessary for all of all people. One was the altar, and that's where they sacrificed the animal for forgiveness of sin. The other was a laver, they called it, which was a basin of water. And so those two things were very much a part of their worship. Forgiveness was done by the sacrifice, and cleansing happened by the water in the laver. So there were two separate things that had to happen. That's why we also talk New Testament, two separate things that God wants to do in our lives. One is he wants to bring forgiveness, and that's when we come to Christ. And when we fully surrender ourselves, he wants to cleanse our hearts. And so we talk about those two things as well as God wants to work in each one of us. The high priest would take the two male goats, present them to the Lord. The one goat would be a sin offering, so that one was slain, and then the blood was offered on the horns of in the Holy of Holies. And then the second goat would be a scapegoat. Now, the blood of the sacrifice goat would be spilled on the atonement cover and in the most holy place. The scapegoat was the other one that was talked about, and here's what happened. The priest would put his hands on the head of the scapegoat, and he would transfer the sins of the people onto the goat. So then that scapegoat would then be taken out into the wilderness and released. And it would go as far away as possible, symbolizing your sins would be taken away and not known where they are, but they're not to be remembered. We see the whole symbolization happening from Old Testament to New Testament. We'll talk about that. The bull and the goat sacrifice would be carried outside the camp and burned. Where was Jesus taken and sacrificed, and where was he crucified? Outside the camp or outside the city. And that's exactly where that happened. And so we see that symbolism continue to be carried. This is from Leviticus 16, and if there's one chapter, I would say, you know, here's a good one for you to read this week or today. Read Leviticus 16. This is a permanent law for you to purify the people of Israel from their sins, making them right with the Lord once each year. So they had to come to that point to understand once a year that they could feel totally forgiven and not held for the sins. So that's why this was such a significant, solemn time. Talks all of those details in chapter 16, and you could read over that. You might want to star or underline that. Make sure you come back to that. Now, our Day of Atonement, so we understand this is what God has done for us, and why was all of this that I just went through so important? Because here's what Scripture says, and as I said, read it in Hebrews, because it tells us more about this detail if you read over the book of Hebrews to understand what it was. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. And so what happened in that Old Testament with all of the sacrificial animals, the altar, the curtain, all the Holy of Holies, that was a shadow of the good things to come. So not the good things themselves. So Jesus was the only fully adequate sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice that would come that would be fully adequate, that would only have to be offered once. That was the message. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer." So Jesus fully grasped and realized his whole coming was that we could be free from sin and forgiven. The fact is, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So that would come, and he would be the sacrifice that only had to be offered once. And once he was offered his life and his covering for us, then we, by faith, can come into that relationship with him. The washing ceremonies were a symbol of the cleansing that needed to happen for each one of us. Jesus fulfilled that for us. And so not only the forgiveness, as I said at the altar, but the laver or the cleansing and the washing that also happened to cleanse our hearts. And if you read like Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 10, tells us that our hearts are cleansed by faith. Same way that our sins are forgiven by faith, our hearts are cleansed by faith. So it's a faith venture that we're a part of to understand. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sins. And so his sacrifice once for all was what all we needed. And we continue to lean on that even in, as we look back on what he has done for us. Now, Christ's sacrifice was sufficient for the sins of all who would believe in him. So that's where the basis has to come. So we understand what is a part of that. He says, our high priest offered himself. See, Jesus became our high priest. And so they would have to trust a man in the past to be their high priest. We know that Jesus has become our high priest. So we no longer need a priest to represent us. We come directly to him. That curtain was open. The Holy of Holies is there. And now Jesus is that high priest for us. And so he offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. So after he did that, he ascended and sat at God's right hand. And that's how we know exactly what he has prepared for us. The two goats were no longer needed. The first goat that was sacrificed as a sin offering was fulfilled in Christ. So their sins were forgiven by that first goat's blood that was shed. The second, the scapegoat, was also fulfilled in Christ. Because what happens when we give our hearts to Christ, the Bible says that our sins are forgiven and remembered no more. as they're gone as far as the east is from the west. And so even the guilt of sin is forgiven and released. And so we know that that's exactly what Christ does for each one of us. For that, by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. So that's the Holy Spirit who's now living in us. You feel conviction when you do a right or a wrong thing, you know, and the Holy Spirit kind of, you go, boy, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have gone there, or I shouldn't have seen that, or shouldn't have. That's the Holy Spirit, because he's now put his law in your heart, and I will write them on their minds. So changing the way we think, Romans 12, helps us to be able to understand that. And then he says, I will never again remember their sins. That's the scapegoat. And so it's gone away, so we never again remember it, and the lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. So I don't have to confess the same sin again. I confess it to him, and it's done, and he forgives. So it's important that we grasp all that, understanding how he works. So what do I need to do? I need to fix my eyes on Jesus. I turn my eyes on him because he is the one who helps me understand this new work and relationship that I'm in. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. You see, God is constantly in this process of helping us to become holy. We don't possess it within us, but because we have Jesus in us, we do, and he helps us to become that person. And so when Peter realized the reality of seeing Jesus as Lord, he realized his own sinfulness. So here's what Peter said. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he saw a miracle, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." Now, the more we draw near to God, the more we become aware of our sin. So we become more aware of our sinfulness the closer we get to God. So your sin has already always been there. And so it's like sometimes we say, look, I just feel like I'm messing up more and more. No, you're just becoming more aware of it all the time. You just weren't that sensitive to it before. You didn't see it and identify it, but now you do. That's the Spirit of God working in your life to help you, to teach you, to guide you, and to help you become holy. So that's his process that he's working. And so you're becoming more and more aware of it. When Peter realized who Jesus was, immediately he saw, I'm a sinful man. Why? Because he saw the holiness of God and the humanity of him, and he realized his sinfulness. I often have this. I hear this from people. Many people will come, and their first few weeks here, I'll hear them say, I cried the whole service. And what is that? I didn't even understand it. It's because when you draw near to God, you become aware of who you are and your need for him in your life and your sinfulness. And that's all part of that drawing and understanding God's work in each one of us. Now, God has provided the sacrifice for each of us, and his anger towards sin is satisfied through our trust in Christ for forgiveness. Somehow, especially like in our culture, as time goes on, we minimize sin. We don't talk about it very much, and we minimize its significance or importance. God is angry at sin. He's angry at sin, and it's really very important that we would understand about his forgiveness and what he wants to do in our lives as a result. And so when we see this, it says in Hebrews, so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts are always turning away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. And so a great importance of understanding that I be obedient. When God speaks to our heart about something that needs to be changed in my life, I need to get on it. I need to be changing it. I need to become this other person, this new person, because he's constantly changing me. Now, God doesn't hold us for our lack of understanding, but he does hold us for our lack of obedience. And so there's an importance of making sure by faith I would continue. And that's why Scripture says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. And so what that's telling us, we give an invitation to say, if you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart, here's how you can, and we share that with you. Now, only God knows your heart and your desire. I don't know it. I present it and help you understand how to, but only God knows where your mind and spirit are when you do that. And if you're sincere and you really want to bring change. Because if you're sincere when you pray that prayer, you surrender your life to Christ and you invite him into your life takes on change. That means change is going to happen for you. You're going to have this greater desire to know God. You're going to have an appetite to draw near to him and learn more about him. You're going to want to be faithful in your personal life. And when sin is revealed, you're going to want to say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that in my life. Help me to overcome. And so you're going to constantly be growing, learning, and changing. I'll have new values. I'll have a new direction for my life, new purpose. All of those things are going to keep happening as you continue to grow. And that's going to be very important in that whole journey. So Jesus died for us so we could be forgiven and then live for him. So that's the purpose of my life. So he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you've turned to your shepherd, the great guardian of your soul. So God offers this at-one-ment or atonement. He helps us to be at one with him freely by faith. So everything that happens in our lives is by faith. That's an important part for you to understand. And when you're small in faith, you're new and learning. Faith is like a muscle. I always tell, take bite-sized pieces of faith. Take something small that you can believe God can do, and then continue to increase that so your faith can get stronger and you can continue to believe. So we become at one with God by faith. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness for him. He himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. So that's why that, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. When he said that, here's what we're seeing, that they must believe to make sure. So at being at one with God, incredible things happen in our lives when we have chosen to become at one with him. First, and this is the Roman road. Oftentimes I talk to you, I use the ABCs of salvation. And that's, I think, a simple, easy way to do it. We have those as far as in those steps to peace with God. But also the Romans road is another pathway that one could explain through that. And if you're ever going to use the Romans road to share the gospel with someone, I would encourage you to kind of go through your Bible and put like 1, 2, 3, 4, so people could follow right through, and you would be able to just use your Bible to help somebody see how they can trust Christ. To be one with God, we must realize our sin. Here's what Scripture says. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So that excludes, you know, no one. I mean, we're all in that condition. We're all in that place that we need forgiveness. And so every person has sinned at some point in their life. And if they've never asked Jesus for forgiveness, that's what's really important that we would understand, that it has to start somewhere. You see, some people would think, I'm just a good person. I can be good enough to get into heaven. If you could be good enough to get into heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to have died. He wouldn't have had to have given his life. We could just have a bunch of good people get there. But you can't be good enough. It's impossible. We can only get there through faith in Christ. That's how it happens. And so we must understand the price of sin. Sin cost God Jesus' life. It also cost our lives. Here's what Scripture says. For the wages of sin is death. Wages are something you work for. You work for something, you get it at the end of the week and or month or what, or at the end of the life. And he says, the wages of sin, if you're going to continue to work in sin, continue to let sin control you and dictate, end result is death. But the free gift of God, and he gives it freely to each one of us, it cost him, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we always say, if you're born once, then you die twice, both a physical death and a spiritual death. If you're born again, you're born once physically, a second time spiritually, then you only die physically. You'll have eternal life, so you won't die spiritually. That's why it's important for us to understand. God loves us just like we are. You can't fix yourself up for God and give yourself to him. You give yourself just as you are. I always like the illustration when it said, you know, a man really wanted to buy this piece of land, and there was an old house that was on it, like an old shack. And the owner, before he sold the land, wanted to fix up the shack, and he would paint it and try to make it look better. But the man who was buying the land just wanted the land. He tore down the shack. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to build his own building on that land. That's what God wants to do with your life. Your life is an old shack, and he's going to tear it down and start building all new with the new life that he's given you. And so you can't fix yourself up for God before you give yourself to God. You give yourself to him and let him fix you up. That's the difference, because it said, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So it's something he does just as we are. We must confess our sin to him. Scripture says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the hope that we have. You will be saved. It's not, I hope it can be. No, it's very clear that we have that. So when we call on Jesus, we are saved. That's what Scripture tells us. He says that for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the hope in Christ that we each have. And so there's an importance. When we are at one with God, we are at peace. And that's the difference it should be. We should have a peace in our heart, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, a peace that is there because we've put our trust in him. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. It's what Jesus did. It's not what you do. It's what he did. And that's the great importance of trusting him as Savior. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be able to do just that this morning. Let's bow together for prayer. And as I will go through a prayer, and as I do, if that's the desire of your heart, maybe you want to return to God and you've been away from him. Maybe you want a fresh start. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. But whatever it is, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus that died for us and became our sacrifice for sin and our scapegoat, that our sins could be removed from us and never be brought back to account. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for all that you've done. There are those that are here this morning that want to put their faith and trust in you, want to know they have eternal life, want to know they have the promise of being with you in heaven. And if that's the desire of your heart, would you pray this simple prayer right after me? Just pray it in your hearts. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I want to turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart. I want to give you control of my life. Help me to live a new life with you at the center. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Heavenly Father, if they prayed that by a simple act of faith that you've told us in your word, that they could believe and know that they have eternal life. So, Father, I ask that you would help them to live it out as a result. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer along with me today, would you just put your hand up and down so I can be able to remember? Amen. Yes. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you for each one that said yes to you today, for life change that came, for the difference that is happening. We're just grateful. Help us to always keep our heart open to you. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name.